years with all of this, these restrictions in COVID, that you've had this type of thought. Maybe you've had this type of thought with the loss of a loved one. Maybe you've had this type of thought with something that's gone on in your life, and you've asked the question, how do I face tomorrow? And maybe we've come to the point at the end of 2021 where we even ask ourselves, how do we face another year? You know, going back to March 2020, when these lockdown restrictions first came in, I'm sure we all thought, well, a couple of months and it'll all be done. I don't think any of us thought we'd be still doing this almost 2 years later. And maybe you have that type of question, how do we keep going? How do we just face another day? How do we face another year? And you know, sometimes people just say, well, all you've got to do is simply put one foot in front of the other. And you know, as many times, you know, if you've ever run, or if you've ever exercised to that point, if you've ever run with somebody and you feel like giving up, and sometimes it's just nice to have somebody there saying, come on, just breathe, just take a breath, you know, let that stitch go, put one foot in front of the other, just keep going, keep focus on the finish line, just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And sometimes when we take our eyes off the Saviour, we forget that we're in that type of a race. We forget that the Lord is just by the side of us constantly saying, child, put one foot in front of the other, just keep going. But how do we do that? Gloria Gaither asked the same type of question in the 60s. She was pregnant, and it was the big God is dead movement, and you know, you had the hippie movement, and drugs were rampant. And she said this. She said, "I, as a wife and a mother, I was in the middle of the upheaval of the 60s and was expecting a third baby. The drug culture was in full swing. Existential thought had obviously saturated every area of our American thought. The cities were seething with racial tension, and the God is dead pronouncement had giggled its way all through our educational system. On the personal front, Bill and I were going through one of the most difficult times in our lives. Bill had been discouraged and physically exhausted by a bout with mononucleosis. And in the weakened condition, he had little reserve to fight the psychological battle brought on by some external family problems. Someone whom we had cared about a great deal had hurled some accusations at us and at the fellowship of believers and at the whole idea of the existence of God. It was on New Year's Eve that I sat alone in the darkness and quiet of our living room, thinking about the world and our country and Bill's discouragement and the family problems and about our baby yet unborn. Who in their right mind would bring a child into a world like this? The world is so evil. Influences beyond our control are so strong. What will happen to this child? I can't quite explain what happened at that moment, but suddenly I felt a release from it all. The panic that had begun to build inside was gently dispelled by a reassuring presence that engulfed my life and drew my attention. Gradually, the fear left and the joy began to return, and I knew that I could have that baby and face the future with optimism and trust. It was the resurrection affirming itself in our lives once again. It was life conquering death in the regularity of my day. As a result of those thoughts, they wrote the following song. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because Christ lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. And the chorus goes something like this. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Can I say this, that the thoughts that Gloria Gaither had back in the 60s about what mess the world was in then are the same thoughts we have today. You know, when we had children, when we prayed about, you know, having the girls, and there was never a thought of, oh, this world is so wicked and we don't want to bring our kids into a world like this. But the world seems to have got exponentially worse since then. So maybe you have those thoughts. Starting a new family. Well, what kind of a world are we bringing a child into? Maybe you have those thoughts because the world is rampant with the idea of God is dead, that God is you know, just to be mocked at and to be sneered at. And maybe you have those thoughts that this world is in such a mess, there's nothing that we can do. We can't make a difference because everything we say is scrutinized so much that the, you know, the politically correct police will just jump upon us and we're not able to present the gospel. We're not able to tell people about the hope that is in Christ. So what is the point? Maybe we are so overwhelmed with the sadness of the loss that we that people have suffered. Maybe we're so overwhelmed with the weight of sin that is surrounding us every single day. Maybe we are so overwhelmed just with the daily living of a Christian life that we think, how can we go forward? But Paul tells us exactly how to go forward. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm just going to look at one verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. I tell you what, we'll go up to from verse 12 and we'll read down. So we'll go up to verse 10. Verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we pray that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious, infallible, and holy word. In just a few days, 2021 will be over. Praise the Lord. I'm just as happy to see the back of 2021 as I am to see, as I was to see the back of 2020, and 2022 will be with us. And oftentimes we sit on the precipice of a new year with anticipation, with a bit of excitement, with a bit of, okay, what are we going to change in our lives? What are we going to add? What are we going to do? What resolutions are we going to make? But sometimes we can come to the end of the year and think, do we really want to start all over again? How do we keep going? How do we face this new year? How do we face tomorrow? But continue. That's what Paul said to him, is but continue. No matter what happens, whether it's persecution, whether it's distress, whether it's sin, whether it's a world that has turned their backs on the Savior, whether it's a world that is hurling insults at you, whether it's a world that is completely falling apart, but continue. Keep on keeping on. What do we do when our get up and go has got up and gone? We keep on keeping on. But continue. Continue in what? Continue in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. How do we face tomorrow? How do we face the new year? How do we keep going? We continue. And we continue with confidence. That's our first point. We continue with confidence. Psalm 118:8 said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's where our confidence is. Again, as I've said time and time again through this pandemic, our confidence is not in the government. Our confidence is not in a vaccine. Our confidence is not in the wearing of masks. Our confidence is not in the internet, is not in Facebook, is not in YouTube, is not in anything else. Our confidence is in God. Our confidence is in the Lord. We're not to put our confidence in man. You know, as grateful as we are to some of the medical advances that have been made, and as grateful as we are to some of the medicines that have been developed over the years, our confidence is not in that. Our confidence is in God. Our hope is not in Westminster. Our hope is not in the Senate. Our hope is not in Stormont or Hollywood. Our hope is in God. Our confidence is in the Lord. But continue thou. Continue in what? Continue in confidence that the Lord will be with us, that the Lord will guide us, that the Lord will give us the strength to simply keep putting one foot in front of the other. We have confidence in the Savior. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You know, sometimes we can go through this life and feel so lonely. And sometimes being a Christian is horrendous. Maybe you are the only Christian in your home. And that's hard. That's tough. You know, I sometimes think we take it for granted when we can wake up in the morning and do a devotion together and do a devotion as a family. And it's hard for those then who wake up and they're the only Christian in the household. You know, I am blessed beyond measure with the fact that God has called me into a ministry and I get to work with my best friend every single day. Joe now, as well as the Lord. But sometimes you take that for granted. And there are many people who go off to work each and every day and they don't have that blessing of being surrounded by Christian people and they're on their own. But we can continue with confidence because God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. We can continue with confidence because he won't cast us out. Sometimes we can become so despondent because of the way in which we live out. Our devotion this morning was talking about, you know, little snags that come up in our lives. And, you know, if you caught a, if for any of you who was ever snagged a jumper, it's always that tendency to pull in there. And I'm hopeless. I am absolutely hopeless. Rather than moving about, you know, 15 yards to the bedroom to get a scissors to cut that little thread off so that it doesn't do any other damage, I don't do that. I'll pull it. And I'll wrap it around my finger and then I'll pull it hard enough so it'll snap. And then all you do is just pull the thread even more so that it either all starts to unravel. And then you end up then with the type of clothes some of the teenagers wear today up here. Or I end up pulling a whole bit of my jumper and there's all gathered together in one place. Why am I saying that? Solomon just had a little snag in his life. Well, he had 1,000 of them. 1,000 little snags. 300 wives and 700 concubines. But the Bible says that the women turned his heart away from God. You know, and sometimes we have little snags in our walk with the Lord and we think, oh, I've blown it. I'm no good to the Lord. And whilst we damage our testimony, the Lord in no wise turns around and says, that's it, I'm done with you. I can't cope with you anymore. I'll cast you off. And sometimes we struggle to face tomorrow because we don't have any confidence in ourselves because of our walk, but our confidence is not in ourselves, our confidence is in him. And he said, it doesn't matter if we've stumbled, if we've fallen, the Lord Jesus Christ is always there to pick us back up and say, child, keep putting one foot in front of the other. We have confidence that our Savior will satisfy. Psalm 17:15 says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. He can and does satisfy us. This world doesn't. If we are seeking our satisfaction from this world, it will be empty. It won't satisfy. You know, it'll be like drinking salt water. What we think is actually helping us is harming us. You know, somebody who drinks salty water thinks they're quenching their thirst, but the salt, in effect, is just making them more thirsty. And in the end, end up poisoning themselves. That's what happens when believers look for their satisfaction in the world. We might feel like we are, you know, we are filling a void, that we are healing a wound, that we are, you know, dulling our senses, as it were, to the pain that might surround us, but that's not where our eternal satisfaction is found. We can be satisfied in the Lord. You know, when we submerge ourselves in his word, when we sit at the table, you know, today I don't know, most families I think are the same today now. We don't have the time around the dinner table that they used to in bygone days. It's all quick, or it's food on the lap in front of the telly. You know, I remember going up my grandparents when they would babysit for us, and both sets of grandparents, you'd do exactly the same. You'd sit around the dinner table, you'd be there for hours. I mean, there was nothing else to do at the time when you had three channels. You couldn't exactly watch TV. But you sat around the table. And I remember as a child thinking, oh, that's, you know, it was a bit boring. But as an adult, you appreciate that because everybody was talking about what everybody else was up to. That was your social media. That's where you found out what was going on in people's lives. So if we want to be satisfied in the Lord, we've got to spend time at his table. And we've got to spend time, if you like, with his Facebook. Because you find his face right the way throughout this book. And we've got to sit down and satisfy ourselves as we feed upon the Word of God. As we learn more and more and more, and the more we grow and the closer we get to the Lord, we simply have confidence in our Savior that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. So how do we face another day? How do we face this new year? We simply continue. We continue with confidence. We continue with confidence in the fact that the Lord will supply our needs, that the Lord will supply our needs as we feed upon his word. But not only do we continue with confidence, we continue with a charge. We've all been charged to preach the gospel. You might turn and say, well, hang on a minute. You were called to preach, Pastor, and you know, we cause every single one of us has been charged to preach the word. The Lord Jesus Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say, now only the missionaries, only the pastors, only the ones that have been called to a Sunday school class, or only those being called to a youth ministry. He said, go ye into all the world. Now if he said, go thou into all the world, then he would have been talking to one person. But he said, go ye into all the world. Plural. He's talking to everybody. And preach the gospel. We have a charge to preach God's word. We have a charge to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we face tomorrow? We can face tomorrow with the fact that we've been given a commission. We've been given a charge to go and tell people about the Lord. To tell people about what Christ has done. To tell people about what the glories that await them are in heaven if they accept him as their Savior. We're to warn them about the punishment that's to come if they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gives us a purpose. You know, oftentimes, you know, when we suffer in a great loss, when we come to a point where we wake up in the morning, one of the most difficult things is just simply having a purpose. And I've heard many people say who've lost close loved ones say, I just don't have a purpose anymore. And it is hard. It's incredibly hard. But we still have a purpose. Because God has called us to preach the gospel. And sometimes just having a purpose keeps us going, gives us that drive just to put one foot in front of the other. We can continue, not only because we have a confidence in the Lord, but because we've been charged by him to preach the gospel, to preach the whole counsel of God. Paul said that he kept nothing back that was profitable unto you in Acts 20:20. I've showed you and taught you publicly, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance towards God, faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. We can face this new year because we've been charged to preach the gospel. Oh yeah, but I just don't know what to say. Where do I even begin? If you don't know what to say, get into the word. Study to show thyself approved. And then preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Be ready. But not only are we charged to preach, we're charged to pray. Paul said we are to pray without ceasing. You know, I'm not going to harp on about how the prayer meeting is the least attended meeting of the whole church calendar, because I'm boring myself. But it is. But I don't understand why it's the least attended meeting out of all the meetings. Because we are charged to pray. What priority do we put in prayer? You know, one of the most humbling sights, and I don't mean to embarrass in any way, shape or form, but I will. You know, I get up in the morning, and 9 times out of 10, Jo is up before me because she doesn't sleep good through the night because of her back. And, you know, she'll always say to people, if you need me, just text me in the night because I'm always up. And if you can't sleep, I can't sleep anyway. So just text away. And I'll get up in the morning, I'll come downstairs, and Jo is always sat in the same place with her Bible and her prayer journal in front of her. And I know 100% that if you have asked Jo to pray for you, she's praying for you. I know 100% that if a prayer request has been made known in the prayer meeting, she's praying for it. We're told to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. That's what our charge is. How am I going to put one foot in front of the other? We can go forward. We can continue with confidence in our Lord. We can continue because we've been charged to preach the word. We've been charged to pray. And if there's nothing else we can do, guess what? Every single one of us can pray. Yeah, well, I don't know what to say. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever picked up the phone and spoken to anybody? Is there anyone here who has never spoken to anybody on the telephone ever? So you've all at some point picked up the phone and spoken to somebody. Then you know how to pray. That's it. That's all God wants you to do is talk to him. It's to commune with him. The only difference is you don't have to stand there going, hello, God. You can just talk to him without ceasing. Continually, we should wake up in the morning and say, Dear Heavenly Father, and we should put our head back on the pillow at night and say, Amen. Our life should be one continuous prayer meeting. You know, we want revival to come. But we understand revival has to start with us, but we have to pray. You look at all the past revivals or the Great Awakenings in America, or the revivals that took place in Wales and England, started with prayer. When people got serious about prayer, things started to happen in the church. You know, a few weeks ago, I was involved in one of the greatest prayer meetings I've ever been involved with. Incredible night. But why isn't every Wednesday like that? You know, maybe I need to make special announcements every Wednesday. But I'd encourage you, make a prayer list. Pray for people in the church. Pray for the ministries of the church. Pray for the preaching of the word in the church. Pray for those who are lost. Pray for those who need prayer. Prayer is important, and we can continue because we've been charged to pray. We can continue with confidence. We can continue with a charge. We can continue with consistency. You know, that's one thing that is desperately needed in our Christian lives is consistency. Psalm 37:23 says, The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. It's very hard to be consistent. You know, sometimes we will come to a service on a Sunday night and maybe the Lord will speak to us in such a way and we'd be so excited with what the Lord has spoken to us about and we'd be ready to put all of that into action. And, you know, it's like I've said before, whenever you started a new page of a new notebook in school, oh, my days. Do you know that was one of the most exciting times of school, was just having a new notebook and that first page. Oh, your best writing. Oh, you really, really took your time. And you made sure that first page was, oh. And then you turned the page over and that second page was a nightmare. Because it wasn't as soft as the other page. Because, of course, the first page had all the other pages underneath it. Then you turn it over and there's the desk. So your writing wasn't as nice. As much as you tried, you just couldn't do it. And then you kind of think, oh, well, what's the point? And then my textbook just used to look like a spider that had a fit right the way across it. Everybody used to ask me if I was going to be a doctor because I had the writing for it. I didn't have the intelligence for it, but I had the writing for it. So that's good to know. And sometimes our Christian walk is like that. You know, we have a message that speaks to our hearts and we're like that first page of the exercise book. We put the effort in. We're really excited. And we're making sure that our walk is straight. We're walking circumspectly. We're walking with a bit of a spring in our step because of the way in which the Lord has spoken to us, the message has spoken to us. And then we turn the page. And maybe we mess up in a little way. Or maybe, you know, something happens and somebody says something to us that kind of riles us up. And maybe the flesh starts to peek his head above the parapet and say, oh, what's going on here then? and we kind of slip a little bit in our walk. And sometimes our attitude then is, well, what's the point? I've messed up now. I've kind of made a mess of my notebook, as it were, so I'm not going to bother doing any tidy writing for the rest of the book, and I'll start again with a new notebook. But the Lord needs us to be consistent. Again, just put one foot in front of the other. Yes, we're going to stumble. Yes, we're going to fall. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. Yes, we're going to slip up. Of course we are. If we weren't going to do that, then the Lord would never have given us that promise that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we can continue in the year ahead with a desire to have a consistency in our walk. To say, right, Lord, every step that I take is going to bring you glory. Every step that I'm going to take is going to point people to the Savior. Every step that I take is going to be circumspect. Carefully placing our foot, one foot in front of the other, so that our walk is a testimony to those who are watching. Will problems come? Absolutely. Paul said that he was suffering persecution and afflictions, and he was going through all kinds of things were being thrown at him that he was enduring. But he said, continue. Continue with consistency in spite of the temptations, in spite of the failings, in spite of the world situation, in spite of what other people say, in spite of accusations, in spite of denigrations, in spite of all of those things that come our way from other people. Just be consistent. One foot in front of the other. Oftentimes we see God as being too small. That when our problems come our way, the problem is so big that we can't see God. You ever seen that when sometimes when you see the moon, you think, wow, look at the size of the moon. You think, I can't wait to come around the corner and get a better picture of it because it is massive. And then you come around the corner and it looks tiny and you think, what happened? It's all perspective. Because you just happen to be in a certain position where the mountain looked so big that it made the moon behind you look even bigger. And it's perspective. Sometimes we get so close to our problems that we can't see God because our problems overshadow us. And sometimes all we need to do is take a little step back. And then we see actually how big God is compared to the problems that we are facing. Continue with confidence. Continue with a charge. Continue with consistency. How do we face this new year? Continue with certainty. Here is one thing that is absolutely certain. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. That's a certainty. Well, how do you know? Because God promised. Well, how do you know we can trust him? Because God promised that Christ would come the first time, and he came. God promised that Christ would die upon the cross, and he did. God promised that Christ would rise from the dead, and he did. God promised that Christ would come again, and guess what? He will. And we are to look for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing. Why? Because when we are struggling to put one foot in front of the other, we simply look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We look for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing because we know one day the Lord will return and will remove us from all of this nonsense. We know that one day the Lord will return and remove us from all of this sin. We know one day the Lord will return and will remove us from all of these trials and tribulations and heartaches and issues that we face on a daily basis. We know that he's coming. And because we know that he's coming, it gives us an encouragement. Now, it gives us a challenge. Because if we know he's coming at any moment, what would happen if he came at an inappropriate time for us? When we were where we shouldn't be, or when we were doing something we shouldn't have been doing. So the fact that the Lord could come at any moment is challenging to us if we're not kind of living our lives exactly as we should in light of the Lord's return. When we're walking in step with him,
when we're facing difficulties and we're taking encouragement from the Lord, then his coming is a great encourager, because we look forward with certainty that the Lord will return. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. With his coming in sight, we're not then discouraged by the people that are placed in our lives that cause us issues. With his coming in sight, we don't get discouraged when those personal problems or even prospective problems come into our lives. Yes, we still get discouraged at times. I understand that. But Christ's soon coming runs so deep in our hearts that we find an encouragement even in discouraging situations. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approach it. How do we face the year ahead? We just put one foot in front of the other. Paul said, continue. It doesn't matter what you faced. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what the world hurls at you. It doesn't matter what the world says to you. It doesn't matter what the world says about you. It doesn't matter what the world thinks of God. It doesn't matter what the world thinks of church or the Bible. All we are called to do is to continue. And we can continue with confidence because of who he is, not because of who we are. We can continue with confidence because of who he is and in spite of who we are. We can continue with confidence because the Lord Jesus Christ will always satisfy the believer's heart. We can continue because we've been charged. We've been charged to preach the word to every creature. We've been charged to get the gospel out. And what we want in January is a gospel explosion. We want to get tracts out into the homes and into the hands of people. We want people to come into the church. We want people's lives to be changed. We want souls to be saved. And we want to make a difference in the world today. And I understand that there'll be many challenges that we'll face in 2022, just like we have in the last years. But we've been charged to preach the word, to pray without ceasing. So we continue. We're to continue with consistency. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So let's make sure we're walking in the right path. Let's make sure we're walking in the right place. You know, remember the snowfall of 82? Somewhere around about there, 81, 82, we had a massive, massive snowfall. You know, they weren't like supermarkets everywhere then. I think the only supermarket we had around here was like Carrefour in Caerphilly. And we used to have to go down to Fletcher's farm to go and get milk and eggs. And as I think I was about 8 or 9, 10, maybe around that mark, 8, 9, 10, something like that. And I remember the drifts had been so high, you could come out to our back door in the kitchen, you could come out to the back, and it was a bit of a drop on the back door step, because we had a concrete steps me at the back. You could come off there, and I remember my brother just falling back into the snow, and the snow being so deep that he just disappeared. Should have stayed there, but he just disappeared into the snow. And I remember walking to Fletcher's farm and trying to trudge through the snow was a nightmare. And my dad's steps were like quite long in stride. And then all of a sudden, he must have clicked that if I just put my feet in his footsteps, it became a little bit easier. How do we walk a consistent life? Stop trying to do it on your own. God's ordered our steps. God's already gone before us. So let's just walk in his footsteps. That's how we get consistency in our walk. Continue with confidence. Continue with a charge. Continue with consistency. Continue with certainty. The Lord's coming back. the Lord's coming back. I remember, perhaps I shouldn't say this, I remember going on holidays one time with family friends. We had just moved to Evelyssen. And I remember going on holidays with family friends up to Carmarthen. It was just me and it was them and their two sons. And like I said, we had just moved to Evelyssen. And I remember this family dropping me back off at Evelyssen and mum and dad not being home. And I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit of a naughty boy when I was younger. And because they'd threatened to do this so often, do you know what I thought they had done? I thought they'd moved. I thought they'd gone and left me. Didn't have mobile phones then, so I couldn't dial child line. I had to wait till I got in the house. And I couldn't get in the house because they had the key. But I thought they'd moved. Even though my parents would never do that to me. I think. That thought came to my mind. What am I going to do? Parents have left me. But as a child of God, you need never fear that. Because he's promised to never leave us and never forsake us. And we can face tomorrow with certainty that the Lord will come back. Because he promised to. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And guess what? If I've gone to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back. And I'm going to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. How do we face tomorrow? With confidence, with a charge, with consistency, with certainty that the Lord's not left us here on our own. And that one day he'll return for his church and take us home to glory with him. And then there'll be no more tears. No more heartache, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sin. How do we face tomorrow? How do we face the new year? We simply put one foot in front of the other and trust God. It might sound a bit simplistic, but sometimes as believers we overcomplicate things. We take one day at a time. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us to do. Take no thought of the morrow, for the morrow will take care of itself. The Lord will look after us today. He's already taken care of tomorrow. One step at a time. Father, we thank you again for this day and this time together tonight, for the opportunity to come around your word. Lord, I just pray that you speak to every heart here tonight, Lord, that may be hurting, that's struggling, that is going through uncertainty, difficulty, trials. And Father, there's many people. Maybe there's somebody listening to this message tonight online, or maybe we'll stumble across it in a little while and we'll be thinking, how can I get through tomorrow? How can I even face tomorrow? Father, I pray that this message will be a help to them. Thank you, Lord, for just encouraging us to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And that you are the one that guides our steps. You are the one that helps us along the way. So, Father, we just pray that as we face another uncertain year, we're thankful for the fact that we can face it with certainty because of the one who's already gone before us. We love you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, if you're leaving us, for those who join us online, thank you for being with us. We'll be on our services on Sunday at 11 o'clock Sunday morning and 6 o'clock Sunday night. And again, it'll be live streamed on YouTube, Sermon Audio, and Facebook. And again, for those within the church, for those in Bethany, you want to start dialing into Zoom, we'll put you up on the screen as soon as we finish our live stream. And then for those leaving us, we will see you on Sunday morning. Amen. Have a happy new year and see you in 2022. Amen.
I thought so. It's fine, you told me I'm not in trouble. You like me complaining.
Josh, let me go back up there. I was in the way there. Go back up there.
Look, a reflection in their glasses. We can see you even though your eyes are open.
Stop laughing at me, Joe.
I am talking about you as well.